Okay, we're going to hear from God, the God of the whole universe, the glorious and holy God, the one whose name is majestic in all the earth. We're going to hear that from Exodus chapter 19. Rob is going to come and read that, and then we'll turn to that part of God's word.
Exodus 19, page 76, if you haven't got there. On the first day of the third month, after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back up and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Make them wash their clothes and be ready on the third day, by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in sight of all the people. Put limits for them around the mountain and tell them, 'Be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. They are to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only when a ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain.'" After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and washed their clothes, and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, "Prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, 'Go down and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them.' Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us. Put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy.' The Lord replied, 'Go down and bring Aaron up with you, but the priests and the people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them.' So Moses went down to the people and told them." This is the word of the Lord.
Everyone who does not bow down to my golden statue will be thrown into the blazing furnace. That was the command of King Nebuchadnezzar. And so everyone fell flat on their faces. Everyone, that is, except for three men who stood out like sore thumbs. Furious with rage, King Nebuchadnezzar ordered that the blazing furnace be heated seven times hotter than usual, and he threw those three men in. The blazing furnace was so hot that even the strongest men in the army who threw them in, even they died because they got too close. You don't play with fire. Fire is something not to be messed with, but to be taken seriously, to be respected. You don't play with fire. As we return to God's great rescue story here in the book of Exodus, the Lord is about to come to his people in burning holy glory. This chapter that we just read, it trembles with the awesome majesty of our God. And so, friends, we must prepare ourselves with care, because you don't mess with fire. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Spirit, you are the glorious, mighty, majestic God. We come before you with confidence in the name of Jesus, but we don't want to come casually. And we ask that you would indeed meet with us today. Show us your glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The first couple of verses set the scene. It's just ticked into the third month after their exit from Egypt when the sat-nav pings. You have reached your destination. This is where we've been heading ever since chapter 3, if you can remember all the way back to chapter 3, when Moses met with the Lord in the fire on this very mountain. And the Lord had told him, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And now the circle is complete. Finally, they are here. Everything that we've seen so far in Exodus, this is what it was all about. The back and forth with Pharaoh, the plagues that fell, the Passover lamb that was sacrificed, the crossing of the Red Sea, the manna, the quail, the water that God had provided in the desert, all of it led up to this point. This was the purpose all along. God has rescued his people for relationship with them. He delivered them so that he could dwell with them. And now, at last, they're here. But as soon as they arrive, a big problem becomes clear. Immediately, a huge hurdle that they somehow need to get over. They can't get anywhere near him. God is God, and they are not. He delivered them so that he could dwell with them, but because of what God is like compared with what they were like, there needs to be distance between them. That's the repeated message of this chapter. In his holy glory, God is unapproachable for sinful people. Like a blazing furnace, you can't get too close, otherwise you die. Here's the problem. He rescued them for relationship, but as things stand, they can't get anywhere near him. To start with, only Moses is allowed to approach at all, and even he needed some protective measures in place. Look at verse 9. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. A dense cloud. The Lord wraps himself in a thick cloak of cloud. He veils his face because not even Moses could survive the undiluted glory of God. But he does have a special role. He is the designated spokesperson, a mediator, one who stands between God and the people, shuttling up and down this mountain, communicating one with the other. You see, the Israelites, they can't just come into God's presence themselves. They cannot speak to God personally. They need a go-between, someone that they can trust, someone they can be sure really does communicate God's word to them. If they're going to have a relationship with God, they need a mediator. They also need to be consecrated. Verse 10, And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Make them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Consecrated. To be consecrated is to be made holy, to be set apart, carefully prepared for God's presence. For the people to be ready to see God, Moses the mediator needs to make them holy. And so verse 14, that's what he does. They wash their clothes, they abstain from sex. Those things are not actually or literally unclean, but these were ways for them to be symbolically, ceremonially pure, prepared, ready to see God. But such is the white hot holiness of God that even with a mediator, and even after these careful preparations, even still they must not get too close. Verse 12. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. It's a bit like hazard tape. Oh dear, John Mark's going to be in the hazardous area. It's a bit like hazard tape that they put across. Hazard tape, which will say, you must not cross this line. Do not cross. If you cross this line, there is a danger of death. And so Moses put limits, cordons, around the whole of the mountain. Yes? Yeah, it could be red tape. You're right. Whichever colour it is, it's danger of death, cordoned off. You can't get anywhere near. There was nothing special about the mountain itself. But when God came down on the top of the mountain, the whole mountain was made holy. Such is the power of God's presence. Just as Moses had experienced all those years ago in this very same place. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. God was sat on top of the mountain, and so the whole thing was out of bounds, so pure, so unapproachable, that even to touch it was a fatal transgression. Verse 12. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. That sounds pretty extreme, right? But that's how holy God is. You cannot draw near and expect to survive. Like a burning furnace, if you get too close, you will die. His glorious nature is incompatible with fallen human nature. They just can't occupy the same space. And so that distance has to be respected at the cost of your life. And if a person or an animal did wander onto the mountain, such is the holiness of God that they too became out of bounds. That's why they had to be killed from afar, verse 13. They are to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. Don't touch them. Can you imagine camping in the shadow of that mountain? Can you imagine being one of those Israelites with this fearful cordon around that mountain? Like walking along a crumbling clifftop. I imagine that the people stayed well back so as to not run any risk of even a toe over the line. Those 2 days of preparation, they must have been days of fearful anticipation, dread even, as they await the coming of their God. Day 3 dawned with a rumble. Verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. This was no ordinary storm. This is a supernatural being communicating in natural ways. His overwhelming power displayed in the spectacular and the mighty, such that every last person in the eye of the storm shivered. The air shook as it was ripped apart by those shards of electricity, and the people shook with it, eardrums rattling with the blast of the trumpet which signaled the coming of God. Verse 17. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. You can imagine the little ones hiding behind mum and dad. No one wants to get to the front too close to those barriers. Yes, this is the God that had rescued them, the God that surely they wanted to know and have a relationship with in some way. But this is intense. This is fearful. Verse 18. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. The very roots of the mountain threatened to shake loose as the ground joins the people in trembling. It's as if nothing in all creation can handle the presence of the Creator. Smoke now covers the entire mountain, not cloud, but smoke, because our God, the consuming fire, had come down. The sights, the sounds, the smells, they are already unbearable, but it just keeps getting more and more intense. Verse 19, the trumpet, which was already very loud, keeps getting louder and louder and louder, as if God is drawing nearer and nearer and nearer. And then Moses spoke. And God answered him. How astonishing that this God, our God, speaks to us. How astonishing that this God, our God, answers us. But again, distance is required. Communication has to happen through the mediator. And so, verse 20, God calls Moses up to the top of the mountain and then sends him back down with that crucial message. 21, go down and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them. Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountain and set it as part as holy. The Lord replied, go down and bring Aaron up with you. But the priests and the people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them. Twice more, God repeats this same warning. He wants to make the main point very clear. You don't play with fire. You cannot come close. Don't force your way through. Okay, you've just seen Moses and Aaron cross that barrier and go up to the mountain, and they didn't die. But don't be thinking that you can just do it yourself. I am holy. You are not. Respect that. Do you know, this is just as true for us today. We cannot come to God on our own terms. Don't try and make your own way up to God. It leads only to death. You might think you can come to God on your own terms, but that's to disregard his burning holiness. We can only ever draw near to God in the way that he has provided. And even for those of us who have come to him and who do know him, friends, we must not be casual in the way that we come to hear God speak. Come and have a seat, Adrian. Do you want to sit at the front? You're welcome. Good to see you. We're talking about the holiness of God, who is like a burning fire. You can't get too close, otherwise you will die. You can only come the way that he has provided. And even for those of us who have come to God and who do know him, we must not be casual about the way that we come to hear God speak. Whether that be at church or at home, as we read the word, as we pray, as we sing, how quick we are to be distracted or half-hearted. Let us not forget that we are in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. You don't play with fire. This is what our God is like. A God of holy, burning glory. And this awesome scene helps to explain what is about to follow. The Lord is about to give his people the Ten Commandments. That's our focus for this teaching series. He's about to give them relationship rules for rescued rebels. He's going to tell them how to live with God and with people in every area of life. And this scene at Sinai shows us why it's necessary. The law was needed because of what God is like. He is a God who has rescued them for relationship, but as it stands, they can't get too close. He is a God of holy, burning glory. His nature is incompatible with fallen human nature. They just can't share the same space. That's the problem. But God has provided the solution. For real relationship, holiness is required. And so, in his kindness, in his grace, God gives his people the law and the sacrificial system. Through the law and the sacrificial system, God's people could be made holy. And so once that was in place, God, the holy God, did not have to stay away at the top of the mountain. He could dwell in their camp, in the tabernacle. The law and the sacrificial system were God's temporary solution for how a holy God can live with unholy people. Can you see that the law is not some sort of severe set of strict rules designed to ruin our fun? It's God's kindness in allowing the Israelites a privilege that would otherwise be utterly impossible. That's why he sets out the terms and conditions like he does at the beginning of the chapter. Verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Do you see what he's saying? I really want a relationship with you. I've saved you so that I can dwell with you. I want you to be my special people, but my nature is holy. I am unable to tolerate sin. So if you want to be my people, then you've got to do things a certain way. These are the terms on which you can have a relationship with me. That's what's happening here at Sinai. The holy Lord God Almighty comes down. He speaks to his rescued people. He provides a way for them to worship him, a way for him to dwell with them. Isn't it a glorious thing? But you know, it's not half as glorious as what we have. Our God today is this same awesome God. Our God never changes. He is just as white hot holy today. He is just as overwhelmingly magnificent today as he was that day at Sinai. But some things have changed. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. It's page 1211. 1211. 1211. Some things have changed. Because the law and the sacrifices were only a temporary solution, something had to change. Hebrews 12 is speaking to Christians, God's people on this side of Jesus, those who live after the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And do you know that changes everything? Read with me from Hebrews 12, verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them. because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. You haven't come to that kind of mountain, verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Those of us who are in Christ, ours is not a physical approach to a physical mountain. Rather, in a spiritual sense, we come to Mount Zion. Spiritually, we approach God in his holy city. And rather than trembling and dread, this is a scene of joyful celebration. Verse 22 again. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Here, God is not portrayed as unapproachable, but surrounded by a joyful community of worshippers. And yes, we still need a mediator, but our mediator is way better than Moses. Verse 24. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Only through Jesus can we ever come to God. Three of his disciples had a similarly awesome experience. Peter, James, and John. They went up with Jesus to a high mountain, and Jesus was transfigured before them. Do you know, after Moses had been up the mountain, his face reflected a glow for a little while, like the moon. But it says Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. The glory of God unveiled in the person of Jesus, God the Son. God spoke with Moses, the mediator, so that the people would always trust him. And now for the disciples, there was something similar. A bright cloud and a voice from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Jesus is the mediator we must trust. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. Just like their ancestors at Sinai, they trembled with fear, but Jesus came and touched them. Don't be afraid. You see, in Jesus, things have changed. In Jesus, we have no need to fear the presence of God because Jesus is a better mediator with better blood. Verse 24. You come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. If you remember the story, Abel's blood called for vengeance. Jesus' blood opened the way of reconciliation. Our relationship with God does not depend on the sacrificial system, but on the sacrificed Savior. And so the way that we can approach God is so much better in every way. Mount Sinai was shaken, literally. It was part of an old order of things that is passing away. But verse 28, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The way that we approach God is better in every way. Can you grasp something of the wonder of what we're saying? Our God is the same unbearably majestic God of burning holy glory that had the air, the ground, and the people shaking. And yet in Christ, we are invited to approach him boldly, boldly, because God has provided a permanent solution. The holy God, whose very nature is incompatible with fallen humanity. The holy God, who cannot tolerate even the faintest hint of sin in his presence, he came down. Not just to a mountaintop, but to a manger. He veiled his godness, not just in a dark cloud, but in human flesh. And on the cross, the pure one took on all of our impurity and suffered our death for us. on the cross, not only did he take on our unholiness, he gave us his holiness. At the cross, we can genuinely and permanently be made holy. So now that the holy God can truly dwell with us, he can dwell in us. You can come to God today. It is not like it was back then. You can come to God, not on your own terms, but if you ask for forgiveness through what Jesus has done, you will be saved. You will know this glorious God as your loving Heavenly Father. Day 3 dawned with a rumble. The ground could not contain him. Creation could not handle its creator. The earth shook as the burning holy Son of God rose in resurrection glory. In Christ, we are invited to approach the throne of grace boldly, with confidence in the blood of Jesus, drawing near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Isn't it glorious? Our God, the holy, majestic, glorious God, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, our God is an awesome God. You don't play with fire. We must never be casual. And yet we can approach with confidence. And so, as the writer to the Hebrews says, therefore, verse 28, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.